What's the most important resource that you have? If you really thought about this deeply, I think you'd come to the same conclusion that Joey and I did. It's time. In our newest book, What's Without Wall Street, The 3 Steps to Financial Freedom Through Passive Income, we talk about how are we tracking that time? What is the thing that we can do to get more of that time back?
That's right. If you've ever been listening to our podcast and thought, man, it would be amazing if I could take all the things that you guys have learned over the last 10 years and just summarize them, put them in some way to easily digest them and take action, that's what this book is all about. You're not going to want to miss it. Go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/new book and get your copy today.
Welcome into the Financial Freedom Roundtable, where each week we break down complex financial topics so that you can more easily understand them and, more importantly, take action on your path to becoming financially free. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. Grateful to have you in the room. I'm Russ Morgan. They call me the idea guy, mostly because like a father guy, just didn't sound so cool to me. But enough about me for a moment. Let me introduce you to my co-host, my partner. He's the Italian Stallion. He's got the license plate covered to prove it. Mr. Joe Murray, Stallion. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Russ, and welcome to the Financial Freedom Roundtable. All of you listening today, so grateful to have you in the room.
Joey, today we're going to break down a topic that's near and dear to our heart, and it's this question we're trying to answer. Why business owners prefer and use whole life insurance utilizing the infinite banking concept? Now, this is important. In your opinion, why?
First of all, if you don't own a business, don't shut it off yet. Okay. Please just stick with us, because if you don't already own a business, you will if you listen long enough. Because the true way to passive income greater than monthly expenses is to start businesses that will eventually pay you without you even being present. Okay. So this is super important. And if you already own a business, you should hear the strategies that are making business owners successful. Because at the end of the day, you never want to look back and say, oh, I'm just grinding through this business. I wish there was a new way for me to retain employees. I wish there was a way for me to do something with my retained earnings. There's all these strategies that, had I known, I could have implemented and, man, exploded my business, number one. But number two, giving myself options that the average business owner doesn't have. So either way, stay tuned.
Well, here's one of the things that our mentor, Nelson Nash, he used to share this French philosopher economist named Frederick Bastiat, right?
And I'm proud of you for saying that name correctly, Russ.
Well, you know, I did take 2 years of French. Nobody cares. My name was Francois Armand Raynaud. There's only the 3 things I remember from French other than oui. But here's the thing that I remember from Nelson Nash talking about Frederick Bastiat. He would always give us this little bitty book called The Law, right? And it was the concept of how the government will use the law into their favor. And as the society, we need to understand what's happening. And he would say that there was the seen and the unseen. And I saw this quote as we were preparing for this podcast. And it said that, you know, this is a Bastiat quote. It says there's only one difference between a bad economist and a good one. You ready for it? The bad economist confines himself to the visible effects, while the good economist takes into account both the effect that can be seen and the effects that must be foreseen. And so as we break down today's topic, as a business owner who's utilizing this concept of infinite banking, utilizing the tool of whole life insurance, we're going to give you like problems that the business owners are dealing with. That would be the scene. But we're going to also kind of break down what's happening behind the scenes. What is the unseen and how has that impacted them? And what can they do and what are they doing to impact and affect the outcome of their situation, maybe in a different way than you would anticipate. So, Stallion, thank you that we're not the only ones breaking this down today. We're covered and surrounded by the best team of financial coaches in the world. To my right, I got the king of Beeham, Mr. Real Estate himself. He's agnostic to his type as long as it produces cash flow, the multi-talented Jamie O'Brien. Welcome in, Jamie.
Man, Russ, thank you for having me. It's a beautiful day here in Birmingham. Another day in paradise, as I like to say. Just enjoying it.
Well, I'm glad and grateful to have you in. I want to get your input in a second on why this is important, but let me get to your left. I got a true financial Sherlock Holmes of our day. No problem too difficult to solve. If I'd only known him earlier, I'd be so much richer, said everybody, Mr. Downtown Ernie Brown. Nice to see you, Ern.
And it is good to be seen. Thanks for having me back.
100%. Well, as Joey said at the very beginning, if you're interested in what business owners are dealing with, what the problems, some of the most common problems, the most important problems they're dealing with there in business, we're going to be breaking that down and giving you solutions step by step, a very detailed, this is going to be a very detailed oriented podcast, but also we're going to break it up at the end and give you some stories. If you're one like me who's just kind of an auditorial learner, then I'll make sure that at the end, we do not have you miss out on some of the exact ways these business owners are learning how to overcome these problems. And we're going to do that right after the break. Let's jump in right now.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
All right, Stallion, let's break this down. Tell me, in your opinion, one of the major points that business owners are facing and problems that they're trying to deal with. And not only give me the seen, but as Fred Bossy, I would say, also let's break down the unseen.
Well, I don't know about you, but we just got done writing a big check to the government, right? April 15th rolls around every year, and every business owner looks up and says, either what am I paying in taxes, or what's the at least the estimate that I have to pay because I had to extend my taxes, right? And it's a large amount. That's the part that I think every business owner is challenged with is, man, there's this big weight every year. And there's this, the what's behind the scenes of that, in my opinion, is they're always thinking, I feel like I'm paying too much, right? I feel like I'm paying more than I should. What's my fair amount, right? They're concerned about, what if I don't have a system to actually pay these? Will I end up spending the money and then show up April 15th and have nothing left to actually send off? Maybe they're paying all their quarterly tax estimates and they're just blindly doing it because they just want to be disciplined and they don't want to like ever run out of money, right? And they also think, yeah, my checking account doesn't earn anything, so just might as well just flow right out and go ahead and pay the IRS immediately. But at the end of the day, there's all these things that are circling around concerning taxes. And my gut instinct is they don't have a system, right? When you don't have a system, it can be a huge weight and you're not going to end up being as efficient as you could be. So that's what I'm thinking is one of the major problems that we found business owners that are understanding this infinite banking process and using Whole Life, they have at least solved that. And I'm excited to get into that when we get to solutions.
All right, perfect. Jamie, how about you? Tell me a seen problem that a business owner is facing. Also help me understand the unseen effects of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as business owners, one of our goals is to grow the business, right? To grow and expand that business. Well, you know, as you guys know, we work with a lot of business owners. We all own businesses. That takes capital. And there is something called the swamp of success. Are you guys familiar with that term? Essentially, businesses reach a level of moderate success, kind of in that $1 to $3 million range in revenue, where they just kind of get stuck there. And the problem with that range is there's not a ton of extra capital to go and expand the business. So the only option really for that business owner is to go into debt, right? Mm. Well, the unseen behind that is that they know their businesses can't be the sole retirement plan. And so what are they doing with their money, extra cash flow? Well, they're flowing it away from them into SEP IRAs, qualified plans, and they're locking it in prison, right? So when it comes time for them to want to expand their business, there's very little or no access to capital available to do so. And that's what it's going to take to get out of that swamp of success.
Yeah. And there are CPAs who are typically their number one advisor to their business, for better or for worse, ends up giving them that advice, and they maybe swim in that swamp for a lot longer than they needed to had they had a way out. Now, I'm guessing you both are going to give them answers and solutions to that. Here's what I'd love this year, because I think from a business owner perspective, one of the things that I know in the number of businesses that not only I've helped in personally, whether owned or been a consultant to, is that we're always trying to find A players, right? One of my favorite books Darren Hardy wrote was The Entrepreneur Roller Coaster. And he addresses the fact of trying to recruit and retain top employees or A players, as he said, and gave this list of, you know, what is an A player and how do you keep them? And I think about that as a business owner, man, the seeing that, knowing that having the top people on your team, always having the number one people out there playing the game, right? Not having B players on the court, but having A players on the court. And when you find an A player, no matter, even if they don't fit, finding a spot to get them onto the team. But also it comes into, as business owners, we know we have amazing people on our team and we want to constantly reward them, incentivize them, allow them to keep striving for bigger goals for themselves, but also for the company at large. And I think the unseen of that is, what do we end up doing to try to keep them? And a lot of times it's doing exactly, Joey, what you and Jamie were saying there. We end up making bad decisions with the money, like putting the money in a qualified plan for on the behalf of our employee, right? Our team member, we believe, oh, well, this benefit, right, is going to be the one thing that's going to keep them. And as you already know this, that 401ks and IRAs will not keep employees because they can take those plans and go somewhere else with them. They are foregoing expansion, as you mentioned, Jamie, because they end up taking dollars away from things that they could be using because they're doing that. And they end up paying for a lot of unnecessary benefits, right? I think, you know, we've become a society of like, what's the benefit? You know, what are all my, you know, employee benefits? I go to work for this company. And so as employers, we think, oh, well, if I don't have, you know, if I don't have this, you know, dental program, if I don't have a health program, if I don't have an eye program, if I don't have a shoe program, I don't have a qualified plan program, then I'm not going to meet the expectations of these key employees, these A players. And those are, again, things that are not actually helping when recruit and retain them. And two, they're taking dollars away from things that we could be using it to help us grow. And we'll talk about kind of how we can solve that in a second. All right, Ernie, how about for you, man? What's the scene that you're seeing in business owners deal with, and also give us the unseen effects?
Yeah, the scene is really, it's actually a good thing. Business owner is optimistic. Hey, this thing's growing. It's going to grow. It's always going to grow. But in the back of my head, man, what if things take a turn? This person's been in business long enough. You know, they're optimistic to know that that business has got some strengths, got some opportunities on the table, but also knows that there's some weaknesses inside the business. There's even some potential external threats that they can think of, and not focusing on it, but it's in the back of the head. Man, what if things slow down? What if we have a big market downturn, or what if in my own little market we see a slowdown? And so what happens for that person who's thinking that in the back of their mind is the unseen would be, and maybe I'll just kind of carve off some of the money. I'll just keep it in this bank account, keep it in the business. I've got multiple business. Let me just keep a little bit back. Keep a little retained earnings for that rainy day. But then what happens is they're in that growth mode, but in the back of their head, they go, well, I got a little bit of money, but I'm still concerned if, what if this happens? And so they delay, they slow down, they hesitate. And when I grew up playing sports, played a lot of soccer, I like to be the one scoring the goals, not protecting the goal. I was taught that if you hesitate and you're gonna get that ball taken away, defense is going to shift or slide, the goalie is going to get an eye on your angles, and you're not going to score as well as you would if you didn't hesitate. And so the unseen is It's a little bit of worry and missed opportunity growth for that optimistic business owner.
That's so good. All right. Well, let's get to a solution. If you, as you're listening to this and you're saying, man, one or all of those are things I'm dealing with, we want to help you get out of pain here. Let's give everyone who listens the details of how they can actually solve it. I think too oftentimes on our podcast, we give you a lot of concepts. And for those who are, you know, very detail oriented and you want to get down into the nitty gritty, you're like, please give me some specifics. I've challenged these coaches for us to actually go through solutions and go as deep as we possibly can, still while being on a podcast. So, Joey, I'm coming to you first. You mentioned to us a second ago that one of the big pains is that they're paying a large amount in taxes. Well, what's an alternative? How you know, I know you're not going to give us tax advice, but in the fact that typically they're storing money somewhere else, what is the solution? What is a way that you've seen people be able to solve that problem utilizing the infinite banking concept?
Well, I mentioned like the seen and the unseen. A lot of those are symptoms, right? When we talk about people being nervous about spending the money when it comes to paying your taxes or paying too much every quarter in your quarterly estimates just so you don't have to think about it, and then giving the government like this interest-free loan for a whole year. Those are problems, but they're symptoms of a bigger thing, and it's not having the right system. I mentioned that before, but I'll put some more clothes on it right here. We talk about the passive income operating system. And what you're really trying to do is start with the end in mind, having a reliable system that creates discipline for you, for your cash flow, to ensure that you always have money to pay taxes, that you will always allow that money to grow uninterrupted for your lifetime and do it automatically. Because here's the critical thing. Why is infinite banking, why is having a whole life insurance policy a critical part of this? It's not because insurance itself is going to make the system for you. It's not because insurance itself is going to help you save on taxes or do anything like that. I would give people the wrong idea. What it's doing is it's allowing that money to always be uninterrupted, growing exponentially every single year. Now, to break it down, to create the system around it, you have to know what components are there. And so first of all, if you haven't already downloaded our passive income operating system, go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/POS. Get it for free. You can see the visuals of what I'm about to explain. Okay. So there's a couple steps here to put the components in place. First and foremost, you have to start by separating your income from your expenses. Most people don't do that. They have one account that they get paid in, and they also pay out their mortgage. They pay out their taxes. They pay out their insurance premiums, their car loans, whatever the case may be, out of one account. And we would call that commingling those things. And what it does is causes confusion, and it makes you more susceptible to not having money to pay taxes at the end of the year or even quarterly for that matter. And so you want to separate that and say, hey, I'm going to put my income into one account, and I'm going to push down from there all the expenses, the money for the expenses, into an expense account. All right. So visually, money comes into income account, and whatever portion of your budget, which is the second step, is you got to set your monthly spending amount by creating a budget. So open an income account for all that money to flow into. Secondly, know your budget and push that amount down into your budget account or your expense account. The third thing you're going to do is you're going to create a new account specific for your infinite banking needs. Okay. This is a new checking account. Just like the income account is a new checking account, you have basically you're setting up two checking accounts here. And once you have that new infinite banking, the checking account, then you can start flowing the cash. And when you do that, you're going to flow into the income account, down into expenses, and any leftover is going to go into that infinite banking checking account. Once you do that, I'm going to actually break down more specifically, like, and we give you a case study on how someone can do that.
And what actually will happen on the other side is you'll be able to pay taxes from the infinite banking checking account. So that's the components that have to be put in place. By the way, Russ, thank you for sharing the visual here. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can actually see the pieces at play.
Stallion, so that we don't get lost, let's stay with it, if you don't mind. Give me an actual use case where you have seen this being applied and how. I mean, you mentioned at the very beginning, business owners typically are having large amounts of taxes that they're paying, and that's a big problem. That's the scene. Help me understand, connect the dots of the passive income operating system, actually removing that burden, helping the business owner with the tax issue that they're dealing with.
Okay, so basically, I'm going to just use an example here to maybe explain it more further, okay? So this particular gentleman actually owns an e-commerce brand, all right? And let's just say, for instance, that he makes $300,000 a year, $25,000 a month, that he pays himself from that business, okay? So if you're looking at this passive income operating system, he's going to have $25,000 every month flow into the income account, okay? Once then, let's say he's determined his monthly expenses are $10,000 a month. He's been a great steward of his expenses. He's continued to kind of keep those at a minimum. And he's only $10,000 a month. He's going to push down into his, what's showing on here is a checking account, but I would call it an expense account. Okay. So what does that leave? That leaves $15,000 every month in his income account. Well, in order for the system to work, we're going to swipe that money, that extra $15,000 every month from the income account, and push it right into what you see on the screen here is the IBC checking account. That $15,000 is going to consistently every month be put into that IBC checking account. From that IBC checking account, the $15,000 is going to be used to pay premiums on insurance policies. It's going to be used to pay for assets that we buy in order to create passive income. And by the way, all the cash flow from those assets is going to flow right back into the same checking account. Okay, so if you're following me, that IBC checking account is a new hub that's used to pay premiums, buy assets that create cash flow. And then lastly, it's going to be used to pay taxes on an annual basis when they come due. Now, how is this any help to the business owner? Is number one, they are constantly taking all the excess cash that they're making and they're putting it over on the right side, which is, in my opinion, we were going to call that the freedom side, okay? That freedom account over there, the IBC checking account, is what's going to be used to create freedom. And subsequently, I'm using this case study from this e-commerce guy, is as he's putting money over here, and he's investing in things, a lot of the assets he's buying end up becoming tax-efficient assets that lower that tax amount that they have. Now, did that happen because of infinite banking or whole life insurance? Absolutely not. Those things don't require him to do that. But when you put capital in one place and you start using it to create freedom, you start to see things that never existed there because you've turned on the creativity of your brain. So, Russ, I don't know, does that give you enough picture?
Well, I'm as a, you know, an auditory learner here. I think I may have incorrectly said that the first time. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. If I had an attention, I would have kept it. But what I heard you say is that this business owner who needed to know how to separate his cash so that he actually could keep access to it, because that's always a big problem, was able to use the infinite banking concept to store the capital for the tax purposes that he knew was going to come.
Yes.
But instead of sending it away every single month or every single quarter to the government, he had other uses for it. And I know you were given an example of an e-commerce, you know, owner that we deal with. But I've seen this so many different times where the business owners have set this system up and are now finding ways to not only invest in their business, but also finding ways to invest in other types of assets that produce cash flow and that also can help them offset the tax consequences. So 100%. The purpose of this system is to truly give you an ability where the tax dollars can go and you don't feel like, oh, I'm just wasting money with them sitting in a checking account. But do you know that they're set aside in a way that it's also not in the flow of your ordinary spend? But if you can use those dollars throughout the year to make investments in your business that help it grow, buy assets that help produce cash flow, and even buy assets and other things in your business that may help you offset or completely eliminate the tax burden, there is the win. And, well, I'm grateful.
And the last thing I'll add, Russ, is that this same guy, when he started implementing this, he also joined the mastermind. And as he joined the mastermind, he engaged with a tax strategist who immediately started to show him all the gaps in his lack of tax strategy. And his tax burden went from $140,000 a year to about $40,000 a year. Now, that didn't happen because of infinite banking, but I can tell you, he turned on the creativity part of his brain because he had the system in place. And that's the part that I really feel like is a solution to this problem.
If you've listened to our show for any length of time, you've heard us talk about infinite banking and how we were able to use that concept to create over $50,000 a month in passive income. But it's just not that easy to figure out, how does this all connect into my own personal system?
Stallion, that's why we created the Passive Income Operating System, bro. It shows you how to turn active income into passive income. It makes all the steps come together. If you would like to get access to it as a podcast listener, we've never given this away in public before. Go to whatswhatwallstreet.com/POS. There was nothing worse than walking into class when you're in school and the teacher saying, pot quiz day. Why? Because you were unprepared. Are you unprepared though for financial freedom?
Don't be. Find out how close you are by taking our 30-second quiz at wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/quiz.
For those who are, you know, listening live, one of the questions we get is, man, should the IBC checking account be pushing all the excess income into the insurance policy itself and then borrowing against that to be able to buy assets and to pay taxes and so forth? The answer is 100%. Yeah, we should be flowing our dollars through this infinite banking system. And when we do that, we create the hub, then it allows us to make better decisions with it. Whatever it is, whether it's buying assets, investing in our business, or paying taxes, we have a system. And that's the purpose of the passive income operating system, is for you to build that system and utilize it. Okay. Let me move on over here. So, Jamie, I'm coming to you, right?
Let's go.
You were telling us at the beginning that one of the big issues that we're dealing with is people are trying to expand in their business. They have capital purchases they want to make, but they end up sticking money in stupid things like qualified plans because their CPA told them so. Walk me through a solution and a setup of how someone could do this differently. And if you don't mind, share a story on the back end.
Yeah, absolutely. So, What do we say is the biggest hurdle to financial freedom, Russ?
Lack of access to cash.
What do you think the biggest hurdle to growth and expansion of the business probably is?
Lack of access to cash.
That's right. So the first thing we need to do is you need to schedule a call with Ernie or myself, and we need to look at cash flows and try and organize what's happening with our cash, right? The next thing we need to do is flow that cash and store that cash in a most efficient way, meaning especially structured whole life policy, right? Setting up for the infinite banking concept. Because when we store cash, and we take control of money flow it towards us instead of away from us, right? That will allow us to then use that to finance our business, right? So I could actually finance that down payment or maybe the whole purchase of a capital equipment or whatever the funds are that need to grow that business personally to my business and recapture interest on the backside. And by the way, if that business owner would continue with an IRA, or if I would continue with an IRA, like that money's locked up in prison. I'll never have access to that, right? If I need that money to go make a down payment or a deposit on, you know, X, Y, and Z for my business, that's going to be a lot harder or impossible to access. And so, story about this, I'll tell you about one of our clients. Him and his wife were dental practice owners. They bought a practice. They were following their CPA's advice, right? Putting money into qualified plans because that's what we're supposed to do, until they met our team at an event. And the light bulbs started to go off, and they implemented IBC on the owners of the company. They were the owners, right? So they started to implement IBC into their own life. And where they started to really see the power in this is they borrowed against the cash values in their policies to then go buy a building and another smaller practice. So, right, we're talking about expansion, so they're expanding. They were able to make a loan personally from themselves to their business, and that business started paying them back at market rates. So they were charging themselves what the bank would have charged, being a good steward, not stealing the peas, as Nelson Ash would have said, right? They continued to expand their practice by hiring new doctors. And guess what? Then they bought policies on each of those new doctors that they could then control and use. And then they sold shares to these doctors as they continued to grow. Stay with me here. So after a period of time, those doctors vested, had the option to buy in, right? Some buy shares, which provided a windfall to then go back and refill those policies, right? Windfall of cash. They were able to repay off those loans. Well, the fun part was after they grew their business, they got really connected with us on passive income ideas. So they started using those cash values to do some private lending. And ultimately, now they invest in a number of different passive income streams that more than cover their monthly expenses, and they work it on their business for fun.
Jamie, just ballpark for me, how much of that would have happened if they would have kept with the initial advice that they were receiving from their CPA on just taking all their excess cash they had and shoving it into IRAs?
I would say the chances of that happening would be slim to none, as they like to say.
Well, Stallion loves to say that we, when we are not in charge of our dollars, we don't have control of them. We're abdicating the responsibility to someone else. We're never giving ourselves the permission to actually start to become a better business owner, better investor, right? We think too small. I think that's such a big problem that business owners have, is that they're not surrounding themselves in an environment where people are thinking big, where when you come to someone and your idea you think is big and they put their arm around you and say, that's cute, but let me give you a perspective of what I see. And you start being challenged to think so much larger, right? Like one of our friends, Sharon Srivastava, said recently on a podcast that if you're not able to solve the problems, you're not breaking the rules. And I think what he's meant by that is thinking that maybe we're staying inside this box of knowledge, right? And we're too afraid to get outside of that box. And what you explained there is those business owners were starting to get outside the box. And man, the greater the implementation, the greater the knowledge they gain, and the more ground they gain along the way. All right, let me give you one. I mentioned to you at the beginning that one of the biggest problems that we have as business owners is recruiting and retaining top talent. And I saw this firsthand in my wife's dental practice, but I want to share another story with you too that I think may resonate. But here's one of the things that, you know, we're saying, okay, if we don't use qualified plans, that's all I've been taught, right? That's all I know. That's all my CPA is telling me about. What other options, what other tools can I be using to recruit and retain top employees? Well, there's this thing that Joey and I were building a number of years ago. And now I think we ripped it off from somewhere else, so it's not ours, but we've utilized it so many times in our company, I like to think it's ours. It's called the Dual Executive Reward Plan. It's made up of two key components. One, a bonus agreement. And a bonus agreement is really easy, right? Because many times in your business, you probably run some sort of contest. You probably create some sort of incentive if your team members achieve some certain goal and they get something as a result. And the beauty of that is you don't have to go through all the legal paperwork of creating a document like these qualified plans have. You can literally just say, hey, if you do X, we'll give you Y. And that's all a bonus agreement can be. It doesn't matter the length of time. You say, if you do X, we'll give you Y. The second thing is we did in this dual executive reward plan is we tied it with the insurance, right? We're talking about using whole life insurance. Well, we actually created what's called in the insurance world a split dollar agreement. Now, that's fancy terminology. Basically says the company is buying insurance on the employee. Now, they have to, you know, sign off on it. There's a specific IRS form that has to be filled out. It only can be for the top, you know, 35% of earners in the company, all this stuff. But on the opposite side is the employee is actually able to get insurance on themselves with the employer paying for it. And all they have to do is pay a little small tax on the economic benefit of the life insurance. So like whatever the benefit
the death benefit was to them, since they'd have to pay the premium, they have to pay tax on what that benefit was. And it's usually a small amount of money, $100 a year or whatever it is. Well, how does this help them? How does this plan actually benefit the employer to build this plan? Well, what's the big objective? What are they wanting to do? They were wanting to incentivize the key employee to stay. So they actually say, hey, if you will stay with us for 10 years, 5 years, 20 years, what we're going to do is we're going to take a percentage of money and we're going to put it off to the side. And when you reach that time frame, we're going to give it to you. And it's going to be a lump sum. And this is, could be for a 25-year-old who's going to get it in 10 years, could be for a 50-year-old who's going to get it in 20 years. You get to make the terms. That's the beauty of it. You get to make it up however you want to. The employee gets the insurance, which a lot of times, unfortunately, our team members are not insured at a level they need to be. Third, the company and the employee get to create a long-term loyalty factor. You get buy-in. And lastly, the employee can actually get access to the money prior to 59 and a half, which most of the plans that we set up as, you know, traditionally or typically would be these 401ks and IRAs, what they can't touch until they're 59 and a half. Well, the last thing is, as employers, we're trying to grow and expand the business, as you were saying earlier, Jamie. Well, we need those dollars. Every time we take dollars and we put it into another account, we separate our ability to grow it. Well, in a plan like this, you own the cash. You're just creating an agreement. And so let me give you an example of how this worked out. So we had a builder group. They built about, I don't know, 150 homes a year. And their whole objective was, how do we continue to scale our company? Because they wanted to partner with a larger company and exit, get a big payout. And they had this key project manager that worked for them. But this guy was an up-and-comer. You could tell this is a person that had all that they need. This person could do the job of three other project managers. But they knew that he probably wasn't going to stay around a long time. He was going to want to go out and do this on his own. He was going to want to go start his own business. And they thought, man, we got to grow this business over the next 3 to 5 years in order to exit. And this person is going to be a key component to us getting there. Because if this person leaves a year into the deal, not only are we going to halt in every area that he has his hands on, but then we're going to have to go try to find three or four people to replace him and spend the time to get them ramped up. Because, you know, every time we lose a team member, it costs us so much money in time and effort to retrain the new person. So what did they do? They went and set up this dual executive reward plan for this project manager. They insured his life. They created a bonus agreement where they said, hey, we're going to pay you an additional 20%. Let's just use a flat number here so it's easy math. Let's assume he was making $100,000. They said, we're going to take $20,000 in addition to your $100,000. We're going to pay you your $100,000. We're going to take this $20,000. We're going to put it over here. And if you stay with us 5 years, we're going to give you $100,000 in 5 years. You're going to have a lump sum of cash. This is increased over what he was already paying. So he's like, oh, okay, so if I leave to go start my own company, go do something else, I'm not only trying to make the difference between what I'm making my salary, but I'm also going to give up this 20% that's been stuck over here. Secondly, they were using that cash that they were storing there to go buy lots, because as home builders, the biggest key was go buy enough lots, build homes on it, sell, right? And rinse and repeat. So they needed a pool of cash to do it from, and they were able to use this money along the way. So what they did is, over the time, they actually was able to grow their business. They were actually bought by a larger company in 3 years, not 5 years. And the beauty of it for the employee is that now they got not the 100 grand because they didn't make it the full 5 years. They made it 3 years. They paid out the 60 grand. And he had the option to do either take the 60K or take the life insurance policy with the cash values. And based upon our conversation, knew the better option was to take the life insurance policy with the cash values and keep going. I could go on and on about other ways that we've used this system, but I think hopefully that's a good one to leave you on. All right, Ernie, wrap us up here. So you mentioned that you got optimistic business owners trying to find ways to store cash, but also at the same time worried about what happens if everything slows down. Give me steps and solutions for this person.
Yeah, well, the optimistic business owner wants to grow their business. Behind every optimistic owner is a business. And secondly, is a family. And so we would want to take great concern to be able to provide for the business, which is the ongoing operating costs, the vendors who are expecting payment. And on the far end of that is a family that we want to make sure that we want to feed. So in order for this optimistic business owner to grow their business most quickly, they need to be able to organize their cash. And Joey, man, huge. It's a huge deal to have a cash flow system. The Pious, so helpful. And what the Pious helps us to do is to clarify if we're going to gain access to cash, it's not going into those ugly IRAs anymore, and the business owner is keeping a bunch of that, we're going to organize that money. And the way that you go really fast is you know basically two things: how much money is kept in reserve and how much money is in the opportunity zone. So the first step that the optimistic business owner needs to take and to make is determine how many months of operating costs do we want to keep back in the business? And then if there's any assets, how much capital do we want to keep back in case we need to fix something? If something breaks, what do we want to have in reserve for that? Determine that number. And then likely going to realize that's a pretty big number. And if you've, Russ, you quoted an economist at the beginning of this podcast. If you stand back far enough and you observe what's going on, you're going to know what to do. And if you look at the nature of how banks work, you're going to realize that I don't want to keep that really large number in a bank account. And most of us probably think that savings accounts are pretty safe. If we know what's really going on in there inside of banks, we'd feel uncomfortable about that. So rather than keeping that big old reserve, once we know the number in a bank account, number two, we can set up or accommodate a whole life insurance policy to be the holding place for that capital. And so I'll point back to the larger picture. The passive income operating system creates the pathway for that to happen. But there's basically two ways to get that money into insurance policies, the reserve. Now, one way is if you've got it. If you've got that amount of capital sitting around in the business, you can create an insurance policy and lump sum that reserve as a paid-up additions rider into an insurance policy. The second way is if you need to build your reserve, which seems to be most people's situations, is that you can create an insurance policy and fund a paid-up additions rider over time, monthly, quarterly, annually, doesn't so much matter, and build that cash reserve inside an insurance policy. And what that gives the business owner is, number one, access to the cash. Number two, that held in a safe place. We believe that holding capital inside of life insurance policies is the safest place for us to hold cash. And you don't have to take it just from me, Russ, Joey, Jamie. You just look at banks where we don't want to hold the cash and what they would call tier one capital, cash value. They're holding cash safely in insurance policies, and we can do that too. So we've got our reserve. We've got it held safely. And number three, when we fund insurance policies, we gain a death benefit. And there's even better protection against the worst downturn of all, which is the loss of the optimistic business owner, right? Their death. And that can create a death benefit that both makes the business whole and provides for that family to make sure that vendors are paid and operating costs are continued. Business partners can be paid off. The family can be fed, all those things. So those are the benefits that we gain. And just a quick story about this, I'll just tell you personally. Because I resonate with wanting to make sure that I can fix stuff, keep stuff, and make sure that my wife stays happy. So I'll share just some of my ways that I'm thinking through this. And that is, I've got three basic businesses. One, active. This is coaching business that I do with you guys. Number two is real estate. Number three is land. And inside all those things, I keep reserves. Over time, those reserves have found its way not in the LLCs, but out of the LLCs and insurance policies. And those insurance policies are largely on me, but they're not just on me. They're on everybody else in my family. I enjoy the benefits of that. But you add up those reserves, that's easily a couple $100,000 that is just being kept and held back. And I feel way more comfortable keeping that level of cash in insurance policies than the business checking accounts. Granted, it's safer, but it's also doing way more than what those business checking accounts are doing, which is basically nothing for me. Oops. And where this comes into play, this idea of know your reserves is that I'm interested. I'm an optimistic business owner. I want to be growing. But because I know how much I have in reserves, I can easily, quickly, over and over, go to Caroline and say, hey, it's time for us to grow. Here's how much cash we have. Here's how much we've got in reserved. We're not worried about downturn. We expect it to come, right? Talk about economics. Why does the business cycle boom and bust? Because the government makes it so. That's what we believe. So we're not worried about downturn. We're prepared for downturn. We're expecting it. We're prepared. And because we're prepared and I've got X amount of cash, and I've got Y amount of cash in reserve, we know the difference. We can be growing. That's how that optimistic business owner can overcome the concern of economic downturn.
So good, gentlemen. As a business owner, as you're listening to this, you may have to go back and rewind this and go through whichever one of those sections that you felt like that most closely resonated with where you are and listen to it a couple of times. And if you didn't get everything you needed out of that, then jump on a call with one of our team members. We're here to help answer all of those questions that you may have, to go through and share, you know, not only the idea of how this works, but also to be able to go deeper to help you implement this. So if you want to go to whatswhatwallstreet.com/free call, and you can jump on a consultation with one of our coaches, and in there, they can help walk through the specific issues that you're working with inside your business, and then maybe show you application to one of these strategies they talked about. Lastly, Stallion, as business owners, what's the number one reason why we start a business?
To make money for us.
And I think that that's the mistake that people as business owners forget. Because all of us talked about ways that the business owners kept money in the business. They didn't get it out of the business. And every one of these strategies you were sharing was ways to, one, grow the business, but also find ways to get capital out of the business. Because I'm going to tell you, if you don't prepare your business to be sold, you're using money and keeping it in the business. Because the only person who wants to buy your business is to know that they can get money out of it. And if you're not showing them the example and the path to do it, they won't have the vision to see it either. So utilize one of these strategies, not only to grow it, but also get money out of it so that you can start enjoying it, because your business should become another passive income stream for you on your way to becoming financially free. Hope you found enjoyment and this was educational to you. If so, give us a thumbs up wherever you're watching or listening to this too, and also let us know how we can create more content that meets you where you are. Have an amazing day.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand, so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.